denoted it, and she returned his inquisitive expression with a subtle shake of her head, telling him that this was neither the time nor the place for that particular discussion.
"Here's to 100 years of good days for Clan Battlehammer, then," Brunner said, managing a fair amount of bluster. "So where's your road? Ye meaning to spend the summer with us here in the Dale, are ye?" "Nah, got to be going," Brunner replied. "I just came here to gather me friends, and now we've a long road to walk." "Mithril Hall?" "Soon."
Stokely paused and pondered things for a moment.
"And I can't be telling no one." "Not a one," said Brunner. "I'm asking ye."
"Then why do ye come here?"
Stokely asked.
"Why not just ride out to the south? Are ye needing something from me, then?" "Not a thing."
"Then why do ye come here?"
Brunner put his hands on his hips and pasted on a most solemn expression.
"Because I owed it to ye," he said in all seriousness. "If I'm living another 1,000 years, if I'm back after that for another 1,000 more, I'll not be forgetting the charge of Stokely and his boys in Gontalgrim. Ah, but we were lost, all of us, and all our hopes, and there ye were, Twent beside ye. No king could ask for a better clan, and no friend for better friends, I tell ye. And so I'm owing ye."
"Then you're owing us all, living here under the mountain, for I didn't go there alone," said Stokely.
Brunner looked at him curiously.
"Ye tell him who ye be," Stokely said. "I'll give ye a send-off."
"Oh, and she'll be one to fit the miracle that bringed ye back to us, don't ye doubt. And ye'll get up on the derned table and tell your tale to meself and to all me boys."
"Telling the world presents complications," Drizzt interrupted.
"And ye tell all me boys what ye telled me about keeping our mouths shut," said Stokely.
"It would be better," Drizzt started to say, but Brunner, whose eyes remained locked with Stokely's, cut him short.
"Ye bring many the keg," Brunner agreed, "for I've a long tale, and one begging a huzzah and a hey-ho at every turn."
He clapped Stokely on the shoulder, and the other dwarf smiled from ear to hairy ear, and shouted out for the dwarves who waited on the other side of the door.
"Call all the boys in from the mines," Stokely ordered, "and ye tell Fat Gorin to cook us a feast fit for a king."
"Huzzah!" the dwarves cried, as dwarves always yelled when an excuse was offered for libations. No dwarf in attendance that night of the celebration of the return of King Brunner would ever forget it. Dwarves prided themselves on their storytelling, of course, epic adventures laced with solemn songs of long-lost lands and hills of gold, heroic feats tinged ever with sadness and ever gleaming with the hopes that the next round, aye, the next, would bring them to a better place. So many were the songs of old, so many the tales of places lost, places waiting to be found again. But the celebration of King Brunner that night in the smoky halls under the mountain in Icewind Dale started out as a typical celebration, with few understanding that this would fast become a special occasion. Not to the height it became, at least. For when he rose upon the table, the introductions of his friends still ringing in the air with the echoes of huzzah, King Brunner took Stokely's boys to a place they'd never been. His song was not of lament, not of kingdoms lost. Nay, not that night. That night, King Brunner spoke of friendship eternal, of fidelity and fealty, of purpose greater than that of any one dwarf. He spoke of Eruladun and the curse that he meant to make a blessing. He openly admitted to his boys his mistake in not going on to Dwarf Home and begged forgiveness which came from every corner. He spoke of Mithril Hall and of Adbar and of Felbar, of King Conorad and Emerus Warcrown and Harbram's twins who ruled in Adbar. He spoke of the Silver Marches and of an orc kingdom that should not be. And he wound it all back to Gontalgrim, to Delzoon, the heritage, to all that had been and to all that must be again. Not all that could be, but all that must be. And he was King Brunner, the living legend, and so when he said it, the dwarves of Clan Battlehammer believed it. And when he said it would be so, so they determined they would make it so. And the flagons raised, and the cheers echoed, and the flagons raised again.
Ah, but the dwarves, always up for a toast,
Regis remarked, sitting in the corner at the back of the hall beside Wulfgar. Wulfgar gave him a wry smile and said with sly irony,
You only live once.
Twice,
Catti Bree corrected, and she slid into the chair between the two.
Aye, Wulfgar agreed. And for some, it seems, it takes the second turn around to understand the joy of it.
Both Regis and Catti Bree looked at him curiously, and looked at each other, each offering a shrug.
I loved you, you know,
Wulfgar said, and Catti Bree's expression turned to one of sympathy and sadness.
Oh, no,
Regis whispered under his breath.
Honestly. And with all my heart, said Wulfgar.
Wulfgar,
she started to reply, her eyes scanning as if searching for some way to stop this course. But Wulfgar pressed on.
I just wanted you to know that.
I do. I did,
she assured him. And she took his hand and stared into his eyes, and he into hers. And a great grin spread over his face.
My heart does not ache, he said.
Catti Bree looked at Regis again, neither having an answer. Wulfgar burst out laughing.
Am I missing a finer tale than the one Brunner is telling again?
Drizzt asked, moving up to the table.
No,
Catti Bree said.
You are missing an apology, my friend.
Wulfgar said. Drizzt moved to the chair opposite Catti Bree.
An apology? I was simply telling your wife that my love for her was honest and true,
Wulfgar said matter-of-factly.
And it still is, then?
Asked Drizzt. Wulfgar laughed again, heartily, without the slightest hint of sarcasm or regret to be found.
Aye, he said. Aye. How could it not be?
Drizzt didn't blink.
Look at her, Wulfgar cried. As beautiful as the sunrise, as warm as the sunset, with the promise of peace close behind. Would you have me lie to you and tell you that I have no love?